Hello and welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lott, and joining me on the line today is Clinton Matos.
Hey, that's me. Hello, everybody.
And Robin Chetty.
Yes.
Hey, how you guys doing? Have a good week?
Not really.
Yeah, you and me both, Clinton. You and me both. But let's get straight into it. Let's not complain about our weeks. Let's talk a bit about a movie that... it's out today, correct, Clinton?
Yeah, today.
So, yeah, tell us about the movie that you watched this week that I'm still incredibly jealous about.
Oh, my God. Okay, so after 11 years, we finally reached not the end of the MCU, but the MCU as we know it, the Infinity Saga, I think they call it. Endgame is out today, and I saw it 2 or 3 days ago now. My review's up. It's completely spoiler-free, but we're just gonna talk about it. We're just going to be very difficult because, like I said in my review, the best parts and the worst parts of the movie all have to do with the story, even more so than a lot of other movies. And because of that, it's very difficult to speak about. So I'm going to go over some general stuff here. A lot of people made a big point about it being 3 hours, but it's not that much longer than Infinity War. I think the difference is like 20 minutes. Mm. But because of the way the story in Endgame is set out, Endgame feels like a marathon. It really takes a lot out of you to get from the beginning to the end. But I feel if you watch Infinity War, that's kind of a sprint. You know, you sit down to watch Infinity War every second, you know, something's going on, some big event is happening. And then at the end of it, you're like, oh, you know, I could watch that again. But with Endgame, you're like, oh, no, I'm gonna need to take a few days to kind of process that and maybe I'll watch it. So that's a big, you know, gulf between them in terms of just how you experience them. I'm going to have a big, I don't know, opinion here and say I think Endgame is a worse movie compared to Infinity War. But Endgame's big thing, the crux of it, is that it's really satisfying to watch. If you've been watching since 2008 like I was... if you've been watching, you know, for the past year, if you watched all the Marvel movies just before Endgame came out because you've never watched any of them, all of it's going to be satisfying. Some people will argue with me on this, but I really do think some scenes and some parts of this movie are blatant fan service. I really do believe that. On the one hand, you know, that it's kind of lazy in terms of filmmaking, but on the other hand, fans love fan service, you know, by definition. And also, the fan service-y parts, they really show that the filmmakers knew what they were doing with them and that the people acting out the parts gave a damn, basically. So it's really gratifying. It's just a bit long-winded, and the story structure has a lot of problems. There are a lot of logical holes in the story, and then in terms of real human logic, and then there's a lot of holes in the logic that the movie sets up. And again, I can't say how. It's just like sometimes a character will say, you know, this works like that, right? And then in 20 minutes later, it won't work like that, and you'll be very confused. And I see a lot of people already coming out of the woodwork to be like, you know, raises glasses. Well, actually, and then they kind of explain it away either with their own logic or some crackpot logic from the film. Am I happy watching it, you know, after all these years, after spending so much money on movie tickets and popcorn? Yes, I really do think that even if you have massive problems with how this movie is put together, you're still going to be happy with the end result. I think in that way, this movie is, you know, more than the sum of its parts. So yeah, the biggest problems and the biggest triumphs of this movie are all in the story, and I can't talk about them. Even, you know, in a normal movie review, you know, if it's just a new action movie or whatever, I could usually allude to certain things and that would kind of get my point across. But I really can't do that here because, you know, if you have any brain in your head, you'll be able to infer some kind of spoiler from anything I say. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. I want to talk about some peripheral things which aren't spoilers. I want to talk about the performances here. I really think everybody brought their A games here. There have been some Marvel movies in the past where people have, you know, I don't want to say they've been phoning it in, but they're not bringing their all. But I think everyone who got significant screen time in this really did put everything into this. They really put their best foot forward. Parts that needed to be dramatic were, parts that needed to be funny were. There's a good balance. I think this is one of the much more serious Marvel movies. If you're one of the people who really doesn't like MCU films because they always undercut moments with jokes, that doesn't happen too often in this. You know, I think sometimes if you go into the discussion forums on certain Marvel movies, a lot of the top comments will be about the jokes that happened. But if you go into the comments for this, a lot of them are about the serious moments. In terms of the CGI, again, I think they really did a great job here. I don't know if you guys noticed in the last, I'd say, the last two Marvel movies, in Infinity War and Captain Marvel, there was, I don't know what the right word to call it is, but it's rubberization. It's when characters are completely CG and they look very rubbery in the way they move. So in Captain Marvel, you see even in the trailer where she like blasts through ships, she looks like a rubber action figure. And in Infinity War, in the Battle of Wakanda, when, again, Thor's going through big ships, he looks like he's made out of rubber, and it's clearly not Chris Hemsworth. I didn't see any of that when I watched the movie. I really do think that the CGI artists, they either had more money or more time to polish it up and make it look good. But I do want to say, I did see the movie in 2D, which is a luxury nowadays. It is very difficult to find these big movies in 2D. So maybe if you see it in 3D, you'll see more of the rubberization or whatever it's called. I didn't see that much. There are, you know, it's not a spoiler to say that some characters in these franchises are entirely CG and they didn't look bad in this movie at all. They look very good.
Are you telling me that Ant-Man doesn't actually shrink to that size in real life?
That might actually not be CG. That's just like playing with perspective. But I mean, Thanos is entirely CG, right? And yeah. He looked great in Infinity War. He still looks great here. And other characters like him still look good. The music is just, you know, it's standard Marvel fare. The main Avengers theme that everyone knows, they maybe overused it. I didn't count how many times they used it just because that's a bit pedantic, but they used it a lot. You'll notice it popping up a lot, but they didn't do anything special with the movie at all. Set design and kind of cinematography and all of that is okay to good to great. It depends on the scene. It's not shot like a TV movie. It almost looks identical to Infinity War because they were shot back to back. So, in terms of how the movie looks, if you've seen any of Infinity War, you'll be very comfortable here. And I'm just trying to think of anything else I can add that isn't a spoiler. I'm going to open up to questions from you guys. Do you have any questions? I know you want to know plot details without spoiling yourself, but do you have any questions that won't veer into that territory?
So what I really want to know, or what I'm curious about, is where does Marvel go from here? Is there going to be a continuation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Like, so, does this movie set that up in any way? Or like, let's go on a clean slate?
I'm not going to answer it from the view of someone who's seen the movie. I'm going to answer it from the view of somebody who keeps up with the news.
Yeah.
So this is all public information. This isn't a spoiler. There are going to be more MCU movies. The next one is going to be Far From Home, right?
Yeah.
So Spider-Man. Yeah.
We know the MCU is continuing. A lot of people, myself included, have been saying, you know, that was the end of the MCU. But what we mean is that was the end of the MCU as we knew it, of the Infinity Saga. So the MCU is continuing. I don't think it will ever stop. And we've already got trailers for Far From Home. So yes, it's continuing. And outside of movies, I know this is the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic, you know, cinema movies. Mm. But Disney has announced that there's going to be a lot of shows from the MCU featuring MCU characters with actors and actresses reprising their roles. So we know that these stories are continuing. But again, I'm saying that from someone who's on Google News, not from someone who's seen the movie.
Yeah, so this is kind of, Endgame is the end of this story arc, as it were, and then it's time for another one after this.
Yeah.
I would assume that's what they would do.
Well, yeah, it's the end of the first three phases. Again, I've said it like three times. I think it's called the Infinity Saga, but I'm not 100% sure. I think that's just a fan name. And if I'm correct, I think Homecoming is the last Phase 3 movie. Far From Home. Not 100% sure on that. But yeah, a lot of people are very, I think apprehensive is the right word. They don't know how it's going to continue with these other movies. You know, who's the next big bad going to be? You know, when's the X-Men and the Fantastic Four going to show up? Because Disney owns them now. We don't know that right now. And also, Marvel Studios stopped a few years ago announcing like 5 or 6 movies in advance. So after Homecoming, after Far From Home, it's anyone's guess where the movies are going to go or what characters they're going to focus on. But they are going to continue. I don't think anyone had any doubt that Disney was going to be like, you know, we made enough money. We're gonna put this on the shelf.
Do you think we'll finally get a good Fantastic Four movie?
Oh, man. One can hope, eh? I can't believe... I didn't watch it again the other day, but I did see some snippets from Fan Four Stick. Man, that movie's so bad. How did they make it so bad? A lot of people say that the Fantastic Four movies are so bad because when Fox owned them, they weren't making the movie to start a new, you know, like Fantastic Four universe or to make a good movie. They just wanted to keep the license. So, yeah, we have to wait for Marvel and Disney to make a good Fantastic Four movie. But if anyone can do it, and I think those two franchises are going to be the logical next step. Mm. I think a lot of people, myself included, after Infinity War specifically, we knew Endgame was coming and we're just thinking, like, what are they going to do now?
Yeah.
Like, they can still go, there's still countless characters that they own that aren't the mutants or the Fantastic Four that they could just go, like, plunder from the archives. I mean, they did it with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people gave a damn about the Guardians until they made a good movie about them. So,
and also, I mean, like, Iron Man growing up for me was a joke. And when I heard that there was going to be an Iron Man movie, I was like, why?
Yeah, like, it was just a man.
Very interesting. And then it spawned this that we now have before us, which is really cool. And I mean, Iron Man is probably one of my favorite movies of this entire saga, as you put it.
Yeah. So a lot of people just thought they were going to have to do what they did with the Guardians, you know, go pick out stuff that's not that mainstream and try and make people care about it, which Disney and Marvel do very well. But now it seems like the next big stage really is going to be X-Men and Fantastic Four. And, you know, we might get Galactus, we might get Kang, we might get Doom. A lot of people want Doom. The movies are continuing, but everything I've just said is, you know, general knowledge from the news. Robin, I think you're trying to ask something earlier. No, no worries.
No, nothing at all. I got to see it last night.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were seeing it today.
Last night at the Monte Cassino, New Metro. And a side note, don't go there. It's terrible.
So that's actually fantastic. So tell me, do you agree or disagree with what I've been saying?
Yeah, I agree with you in that, like, the first two-thirds of the film, certain marks and certain beats for fans of the franchise, and kind of it almost felt like a kind of greatest hits montage.
Yeah, that's what I call the MCU. I agree.
And but the final third I really found quite satisfying. I'm also a little bit cynical about superhero movies of late, but I really enjoyed the kind of final third. Spoiler to say that there's a battle that's quite satisfying.
Yeah. That's not even a spoiler. If you're going into a superhero movie, you know, expecting people not to punch each other, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I think like the final third and perhaps like it like I guess puts a nice bow of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. which was nice to see. I think perhaps having a break from Marvel movies for a while, like these bigger ones, like you can have your solo project like Spider-Man and stuff like that, but these like larger scale ones, to have a break from them is perhaps a good idea, just to kind of decompress so that fans can have a bit of a breather and they can kind of get, I guess, re-energized to watch the next phase.
We can get ready to be hurt again. I wanted to ask you something. Okay, so do you agree with me? Okay, so again, this is, again, spoilers, so I'm going to be very vague here. There's a main driving force in this movie, which is a trope that's been used in many other movies before, and it's very easy to get wrong or to make confusing. Did you like it, or did you hate it, or you kind of like half-half on it?
Leading up to the film, I kind of saw it coming already.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about then. Okay, yeah, sorry.
And in the film, where they talk about
like how it works and how it's been done before.
Yeah, and it was kind of explained away in a manner that didn't make sense to me.
Exactly. I'm going to mention this. If I get a chance, I'll probably write this up as like a big feature. But like I said, that's exactly, it betrays their own logic. They say in one scene, it works like this or it doesn't work like this. And then a few scenes later, it betrays that logic. It's very weird how they chose to do it. I'm not entirely sure why. I'm not a huge fan. And this kind of trope I really, really don't like. But I don't know. I think I've got my Marvel fan glasses on and I'm giving it a bit more.
It's too easy of like a silver bullet, almost.
Yeah,
like...
100%.
You guys are making me want to see this movie and I hate cinemas.
No, man. Yeah. Okay, I think it's something you'll have to see. I don't know. I think even if you don't follow accounts which talk about this kind of stuff and you stay off the internet, I still think someone's going to spoil it for you just for the hell of it, because people are jackasses. I spoil the end of my review, even though I don't think review scores count for that much. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I don't think it's as good as Infinity War. I still think it's really, really good, though. And it's a good conclusion to all of this. You know, I've been watching this damn thing since I've been in high school. And it feels like, you know, I don't want to be dramatic, but it feels like a part of my life is over.
Clinton? I think we lost Clinton there. Yeah, I think we lost Clinton.
You got the Thanos snap.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sorry, Clinton. Okay, while we wait for Clinton to get back on, Robin, let's move on to you. Let me just call it a spade a spade. You've been playing Mortal Kombat 11, have you?
Yes, I spent my Easter weekend killing lots of people.
Sorry, that's just really humorous to me.
In the kind of franchise for Mortal Kombat, I guess in recent years the franchise has kind of been re-energized. I've really been liking the work that NetherRealm have been doing on both the Mortal Kombat side of things and Injustice.
Yeah,
the kind of DC superhero fighting game that they released a couple of years ago, and then they did a follow up. Was it last year or the year before that?
I think it was the year before. We could be massively wrong, though.
Yeah, I've been playing too many games.
Yeah.
What I've been doing is kind of been playing around with both games and kind of working features from each one into their like that. So you kind of can see parallels between Mortal Kombat 11 and Injustice 2, which is... again, I would like to perhaps see a bit more differentiation in terms of what the games are offering in terms of gameplay styles and stuff like that, but I'll get into that a bit later. In terms of Mortal Kombat 11, one of the things I like about it is that you don't have to have played Mortal Kombat X or Mortal Kombat 10, whatever you want to call it. That game for me was very good, but the story mode for it was a little bit complicated in terms of like the timelines and the new characters they introduced and things like that.
Sorry, this is 10. You're talking about 10, right? Mortal Kombat X.
with the Revenants, and it was Shinnok, and they introduced Cassie Cage and other characters like that.
Yeah,
the, kind of like the generation.
I agree with you totally. It was very confusing for me.
Well, strange. I know we were chatting about Infinity War and Endgame. Like, NetherRealm also trying to retcon a lot of the stuff that's happened in the Mortal Kombat universe.
Yeah.
And time and timelines is a big feature of the story mode. So the new big bad, as it were, is named Kronika.
Mm.
I guess the goddess of time, for lack of a better term. So she's kind of trying to correct the things that have happened in the Mortal Kombat universe and ensure balance, which is something that Thanos used to say a lot. There's some parallels there, oddly enough. And much about the story, but Raiden, after the events of Mortal Kombat 10, busy with power and just starts almost becoming like a... And has been altered in such a way that now Kronika has to come in and try to correct things as she sees fit. Well, rather, younger versions of a few characters. Characters like Kitana, a younger Raiden, all pop up in the current universe, and they kind of fight one another and kind of try and correct things and kind of bring order back to Mortal Kombat, which is, it's quite nice to kind of see these characters fighting one another. Nice interactions. I think the great thing that NetherRealm has done is been able to kind of sculpt a very nice story, but movies in the past, especially Annihilation.
Yeah.
Really terrible movies. Story mode that NetherRealm put together for this Mortal Kombat 11 would actually make a decent movie. I think all the cutscenes together almost total up to about 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Just sit through. But it is actually quite enjoyable. You don't find yourself needing to skip chunks of it for it being boring or over elaborate. It's actually quite fun to watch. So that's one of the nicer aspects of the story mode. But it was the fact that you get to play around with quite a few different characters. Also, you get to kind of experience the different kind of styles of fighter that they have in the game. So I kind of broke it down into they're kind of like the big brawler characters, guys like Kotal Kahn or Shao Kahn, Jax as well.
Yeah.
Are heavy hitters that look to do a lot of damage with one or two punches, and perhaps don't necessarily string together a lot of moves. So if that's the kind of style that you like, that those kind of characters for you. Counter attackers, Kitana for me seemed like, and Jade as well, seemed like really good counter attackers. So if you like that kind of style, is that for you as well? And my personal preference before the game started, I played the game, was kind of characters where you could string together a lot of combos. So they didn't necessarily deal a lot of damage with one punch or one kick, but you could string a lot of combos and you could do some damage like that. So you guys like Liu Kang was one example, Raiden as well, who's a personal favorite of mine just from playing the game at the arcades and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But as I started playing the story mode, I started to lean more towards Kitana style, and I found it to actually be the most effective for me while I was actually playing. And when I went into the online mode and the AI battle modes, I leaned more towards Kitana than I would for someone like Raiden. So this kind of version of the game has introduce different kind of styles. I think previously the games had everything kind of merged together in terms of his fort. There wasn't really enough of a differentiation for me. So the story mode I think is really good. The only problem with it is that short. I know I mentioned that the cutscenes are about 3.5 hours, which is long, but in total you're probably going to be sitting down to play this, depending on your skill level, 5 to 6 hours max. So you're not really going to be getting a lot out of the story mode. One other thing I was a little disappointed in is the fact that there's a lot of grinding in the game.
Mm.
And very little reward. So when you do, for example, complete the story mode, you're not given much in terms of skins or items that you can actually use in-game, which was a little bit disappointing. I wanted a bit more in that regard. So I don't want to say you don't get bang for your buck, but it just seems like having completed the campaign, you're expecting a bit more of a payoff. It's unfortunate to see. I guess my kind of verdict around the game is that the story mode is great. I really like the kind of storytelling that I enjoyed the kind of the fighting mechanics, the change of the camera angle, so things are a little bit closer, so you kind of, it has more of that arcade feel to it.
Oh yeah.
And the different fighting styles are quite nice to kind of play around with and get a feel for. Don't think you're getting, there's not enough to kind of bring you back to the game, so I don't think that I'll feel I really want to play Mortal Kombat 11. Mm-hmm. I don't think it had that pull that I kind of was hoping for.
So it's two things I want to say just listening to you speak is the differentiation between the fighters. I really like that because, like you say, like in Mortal Kombat X, I felt that there wasn't really too much of a differentiation between like you say your brawlers, your like your combo dealers, and then like just sort of your average fighter, as it were, and like I didn't feel that there was that much of a differentiation. And when I used to play with my friends, they were like, oh, who should I pick? And it was always a case of like, oh, well, pick whoever you think looks the coolest.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not a like, oh, this dude is super overpowered. Well, I suppose if you look at like the people that were added with DLC, you could maybe say that. But like there just wasn't such a difference between the fighters, like something in like Tekken or Street Fighter or something like that, which like I'm really glad to hear that they've kind of taken that approach. And then also just to go back to your point about the replayability, like I mean, like I loved Mortal Kombat X, I really enjoyed it, and it was a game that I played for like I think a couple of weeks nonstop. But after I'd done everything and I completed like the, I think it's a classic tower with every character, it's kind of like, okay, well, I've done everything. What am I going to do now? Yeah. But, like, it's really nice to hear that Mortal Kombat 11 is decent, at least. Like, I was a little bit worried. And then also, sorry, just to kind of brush off here a little bit. Apparently, NetherRealm is going to address the grind of the game, especially with respect to earning the currencies in the game that you use to unlock stuff in the crypt. So apparently that is something that they're aware of and they will be addressing it. I don't know how. I don't know if they've addressed it at the time of this recording. But yeah, just something to keep in mind as well.
Well, I also wonder about that. What if you already completed the game? Do you get more things now, or do you have to go back and play and try and Wii U?
Yeah, like that's really tricky.
That's for someone higher up, a higher pay grade, to worry about, not us, I guess.
Yeah, like for me, I think that it should be something retroactive. Like if you've completed and now there's additional rewards, that you get those back retroactively, because hell, you finished the game, now you have to go and finish again. Seems like a bit of a raw deal to me. I suppose we'll have to wait and see. The thing about games in 2019 is that like most of the time it's like a continuous thing that keeps happening.
I know that a lot of the DLC characters were leaked for the actual launch of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I've scheduled in terms of new characters that will come out in batches. But a few more modes or something that's a bit more rewarding, that kind of a bit like kind of Destiny 2, where bring back players 6 months, 12 months later and actually enjoy the game again. But we'll see what NetherRealm has kind of planned for it. Like how Clinton mentioned, scores don't matter. Just my score was, I gave it 8 out of 10. again, all the kind of points that I mentioned, interesting story mode, all those things were great, and I really enjoyed it. And if you're a fan of the franchise, I think you will. There are certain nods to past games, with the addition of characters like Scarlet. Also, in the crypt, for example, you go to Shang Tsung's Island, and anyone that's watched the original Mortal Kombat movie, the character that played Shang Tsung, his name, and forgive my, Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa. He was the actor that played Shang Tsung in the. His character gets kind of created in the game, and you get to explore the crypt from a third-person angle as opposed to first-person as it was previously in Mortal Kombat X. Nice little touch. But again, now chess, you don't actually get a lot of kind of bang for your buck. The coin that you've earned in the game, a good reward when you open up those chests. So again, hopefully that's something that, like you mentioned, that NetherRealm can try and sort out in the coming weeks. But for now, I think Mortal Kombat 11 is a game that fans of the franchise want to play. Come back is another story.
Cool. Well, check it out. It's Mortal Kombat. It's out now, correct? For all platforms.
That is correct, yes.
Except Switch. I say all platforms, and I always forget Switch is one of those platforms. It's not out for Switch yet, I don't believe, is it?
That I'm 100% sure. I play on PS4, so I know it's out on console and PC.
Yeah. Let me just double check this. I'm pretty sure it's just Xbox, PlayStation, and also in Nintendo Switch. So yeah, I don't know if it's out there. Is it? Switch. Apparently it is. Apparently it is. So clearly we don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, out on all platforms at the moment. If you like fighting games, check it out. Right, so I'm going to take a little bit of time. I know we're running a bit late here, but this week, or actually for the last 2 weeks, I've been using the Honor 10 Lite smartphone from Honor. I nearly said from another brand, but it's not. They're just sort of affiliated, but not really.
The same
Honor is its own brand. Let's just leave it at that, right? It's easier that way. So this is I don't want to say cheap, it's an affordable phone. It comes in at 4,599 Rand. And I have to say, for that money, you get a lot. So you get a Kirin 710 processor. Our version had 3 gigs of RAM. In terms of storage, escapes me now a little bit, but it does have expandable storage. It's got 2 cameras. It's got 1 front teardrops selfie camera, and it's actually really, really good. So in terms of performance, I played a bit of Hearthstone with it. I checked my social feeds, used it to stream a bit of Netflix, and I didn't really notice much of a performance dip while multitasking, except when I started using some really, really intense apps. So while I was playing Hearthstone, had about like 10 to 15 tabs open in Chrome, and then what was the other? I had the Twitter app open. I did notice a little bit of a slowdown, but that's to be expected given how extreme I was treating the phone. But overall performance is really, really good. Like apps launch really quickly, games look really, really pretty. So yeah, performance of this thing is fantastic. Looking at my review here quickly, the one part that lets me down ever so slightly is the camera. So at the back you have a 13 megapixel and 2 megapixel sensor. So let's just set the scene a bit. Right now, premium phones boast like upwards of 2 cameras. So they'll have 3 cameras, 4 cameras. I'm sure there's one with 5. How many does the PureView have, Robin?
Oh yeah, that's pentalens, so 5 cameras.
Yeah, 5 cameras. So we have become used to seeing phones resemble DSLRs more and more and more, and the quality of images getting better and better and better as we go. Now, this is a 4,500 Rand phone. It's got dual lenses, and it's not bad. The only thing that I noticed that kind of irked me a little bit is that when you are shooting like a dark area and there's a little bit of light coming in from the side, that light seems to be overexposed and it just flares out the photo. So I'll link to my review at the bottom of this post, but you'll see that in the gallery of test shots, I took a photo of a tire and pretty much the entire left side of the photo is blown out. That having been said, in dark situations, it's actually really decent, like in terms of what you can see through your photos. So there's another photo that I took there of my desk, which is in quite a dark area. And like the image quality is okay. It's not the greatest, but it's serviceable. You'd be able to post that to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever you wanted to do without anybody going, "Oh, did you take this photo on a potato?" So it's really, really good in that aspect, but don't expect to be winning like a Pulitzer Prize for any photos you snap on a 10. The thing I think that really amazes me is the battery. So the battery is a 3,400 milliamp hour battery. And this thing sips power. Like, that is a comparatively small battery. And this is a 6.2-inch display, I believe. Yeah, 6.2-inch display, which is quite large. And I was getting about a day and a half to 2 days of battery power, depending on how much I used it. And even on extreme days, the only reason I was charging it at night was because I was like, oh, I'll run out of battery halfway through the day. And more often than not, I wouldn't. So yeah, the battery is incredible. In like an hour, 12 minutes, I was able to charge it fully from 9% to 100%. That's incredible. I was a little bit dumbfounded when the phone was on my desk, and after like just over an hour, I had a little beep telling me battery's fully charged. So,
that's like kind of flagship level.
Yeah, it really is. And like the phone doesn't get hot. It doesn't, like, you can continue using it. It's not going to, like, sometimes I feel like my Samsung gets really hot when I'm charging it. And this didn't have that issue. The screen is really, really pretty. It's full HD, I believe. I just need to double check. But it's really, really crisp. It's sharp. And the detail is really, really nice. It doesn't stretch from edge to edge like the premium phones do. But I actually kind of like that because it gives you a little bit of a lip so that you don't have you don't accidentally touch the phone while you're holding it. And yes, it is a full HD screen. So the fact that this battery lasts as long as it does is, it's ridiculous, to be quite honest. The camera is powered by AI, which is a nice feature. It does seem to, all the AI seems to do, especially in dark light, is sharpen the image. So you'll have to kind of figure if it's worth enabling it or not. And it does take a little bit of time once you enable AI for the photo to finalize. So just keep that in mind. But overall, I mean, for under 5,000 Rand, this phone is, it feels premium. I mean, the plastic at the back actually doesn't, I had to like physically like tap it and listen and check and go and see that it was plastic because it's really high quality. You get a fingerprint scanner at the back. It's just really well made. And honestly, it reminds me why these low-cost phones exist, or these affordable phones exist. Because, you know, not everybody wants or can afford the latest Samsung or the latest Huawei or the latest Apple or whatever it may be. And this Honor 10 is kind of an example of, hey, we can put premium-style features in a really affordable phone and do it well. So, yeah, it's overall, I think that this is probably one of the better phones on the market for somebody looking for a sub 5,000 Rand phone. overall, I gave it an 8 out of 10, just based on the battery, not the battery, on the camera where it lost a few points. But overall, I'm super, super impressed. And, like, I'm kind of toying with the idea of picking one of these up as a secondary slash backup phone. It's just, it's solid in every single way. Like, finding fault with it is really a problem. I mean, it's got a headphone jack. Unfortunately, it doesn't use USB Type-C, but, I mean, you got to decide whether that's really that important for you. It uses a normal micro USB, the old BlackBerry charger, as South Africans call it. But yeah, overall, I'm thoroughly impressed with this handset.
Yeah, I think the entry-level to mid-range space, at the moment, you think about kind of Samsung's Galaxy A, or kind of some of the Huawei Lite options as well. Mm. So yeah, it's good to get it on there, something on the market as well for consumers.
Absolutely. Like I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, but it's not the best. Well, I mean, for 4,599 Rand, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I've got a notebook that costs more than this with me at the moment. And, like, I would prefer to have this phone to work on. So that's nothing. I'm not saying anything bad about the notebook. I'm just saying if it was a choice between the two, I'd probably take the Honor 10. Yeah, absolutely magnificent. I'll link the review at the bottom. If you're looking for a phone, this gets a hearty recommendation from me. The next thing I want to try out though is Samsung's Galaxy A series, as you mentioned, Robin, because I think that those might be a really good contender for one of the better low-cost phones. But obviously, we'd have to test. So, yeah, Samsung, if you're listening, we'd really like to test out your A-Series. Please. Thank you so much. But yeah, I think that's going to do us for today. Thanks so much, Robin.
You're more than welcome.
Clinton, unfortunately, his power went out, which is worrying. But he's not here with us. But I'll... Bye, guys! That's Clinton. Pretended I was Clinton for a second. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back again next week for another short week, another 4-day week. But we'll see you next week. Have yourself a fantastic weekend.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.